Welcome back to another episode of Sports Castle. I'm Chris.
And I'm Jared.
This week,
the price isn't right in cricket washouts.
Attack and blasters to mount their charge.
Country Eagles flap their way out of contention.
Poland are more than emerging at the Rugby League Championships.
Time to jet off for another A-League campaign.
All that and more in Newcastle and Hunter Sport.
Let's go.
Well, mate, we're back for another week, another Wednesday night in the lovely Jared Mullen studios. We're in the, I think we're in the New Zealand Premier League studios or something. Been bumped back into the back room.
Been bumped, mate, we have, and lucky it's not a washout in here too, mate.
Yeah, I was waiting to see if we're underwater, mate. There's been plenty of rain and cricket looking not all that likely this weekend again.
No, very unlikely, and I think some of the rugby boys would be crying with, some of the skin they lost over the summer in the no rain we had over the winter.
The winter, I was going to say, mate, I'm still bearing a couple of scars from grass burns and things at Passmore Oval, and that's what I get for being a second rail / breakaway trying to chase down fullbacks, I guess.
Premier first grade player, mate.
Yeah, I've played Premier ones. We'll take that for as much as we can, mate, so... not too much to talk about this week, mate, but I'm sure we'll manage to drag it out to an hour or so of waffling anyway.
We will, mate, we will.
Mate, what's been happening in the world of the referees, mate? Wrapping up the season, lots of awards to give out in the near future.
Yeah, we are wrapping up the season. Hopefully everyone gets on board and comes to the dinner on Friday night at Charlestown Bolo, mate. 82 heads last count.
I was going to say, you might have some gate crash if you announce it too much.
Yeah, so we got 82, yeah, end of year. So there'll be lots of awards, lots of beers to be drunk, mate. So it'll be a good night.
Mate, you'll have about three and you'll be written off.
I will.
Mate, maybe you should skull those two that you owe the show.
Actually, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, get that on footage with the King of Grinder. Mate, might jump into, obviously, no AFL and... not much in the way of rugby league. We might jump in with the Emerging Nations World Cup, and literally the semi-finals of the trophy action have just wrapped up as we speak, mate. There's certainly some good results for some Newcastle boys there. So we'll jump back to the pools because the pools wrapped up during the week, and I guess the team that we've sort of been championing, thanks to our mate Troy at Aerolax, has been Poland, and I managed to get down to their first game, and they had a couple of Newcastle and Hunter boys in their side, Ethan Niscott, of the Maitland Pickers. He's played fullback, I think, in each of their games, and Alex Kowalski from Greta Brankston, who plays in the halves normally. He was named on the bench in the first game that they played against Hong Kong, and they won it on 62-6. He didn't actually get onto the field. But then he started in the halves in their second game, a 58-6 rout of Japan. So that saw them finish the top of their pool. And themselves and Turkey progressed from Pool C into the semi-finals of the trophy competition, so the second tier, where they took on Philippines and Vanuatu respectively today. But we might jump across to the cup competition, mate, because we do have a newie boy in action there in Peter Cronin going around for Malta. As well as the Stone brothers as well have been in action for them over the competition, mate. And the Maltese, they did reasonably well. They had a pretty comfortable win over the Philippines and then went down by 10 to Niue, which was, as we talked about last week on the show, dominated with some ex-NRL players, predominantly fringe sort of level, but some pretty handy ones like Zeb Lucy and Sione Tovo. Good to see there, mate. Your side of the Philippines, they went out the back door.
No.
Mate, I'm just assuming they're your side because they're about the only. Well, you would have fitted in the Japanese side. You would have been one of the biggest blokes in their team.
Yeah, I was. My new gym program, mate. It might be next World Cup. Was it 20?
Yeah, 25. Who knows when they play the next one, mate? It's a bit ad hoc sometimes. These emerging nations. I think they're looking to become a bit more consistent. And then in the second pool, Hungary, they ran out winners in both their games. Interestingly enough, they only won by 5 points and 2 points. They beat Vanuatu by 5, Greece by 2, but Greece beat Vanuatu by 38-0. So, not sure what the story is. Vanuatu, star studded that we touched on last week, they're trainers, Ken Nagus and Reese Wesser.
Yeah, nice.
So as I said, that moved us into the playoffs. So, we had the bowl, the trophy and the cup, and the trophy and cup semi-finals were today. We had the Philippines taking on Turkey and Vanuatu taking on our boys Poland. I can confirm, not long ago finished, but Poland were runaway winners over Vanuatu. I believe it was about 44-4. A bit of a flogging. Good to see the boys there, mate. There's some very handy footballers. I've already been having some chats with a couple of guys in the Newcastle League about some of the players that might be available. I mean, you've got ex-NRL player Harry Saker there playing in the halves alongside some other guys, mate. There's a guy played at six in their first game, Jonah Metuangara, I think his name is. He's only about 20, Troy tells me, playing out in the Penrith comp. He's an absolute gun to watch. I wouldn't be surprised to see him playing at least New South Wales Cup level in the very near future. So very good athlete, could play back row in the second game. I mean, he is definitely a six away. He takes the ball along and plays, but could play in a number of positions there. So in the other semi-final, the Philippines featuring Dylan and Ryan Jones from Central. They beat Turkey 29-16, so we'll have all Hunter final, mate, in the trophy competition, which would be good.
Yeah, Troy will be pumped, mate.
Yeah, and, mate, the Niue side, they won 16-8 against Greece. As you said, plenty of connections there with Zeb Lucy, Eddie Payer and Sione Tovo. The Greeks, mate, Robert Tuilatu, who's he's playing with Asquith, I believe, this year, was at Cessnock and Maitland previously. He's a Cessnock junior. He's played first grade at Cessnock. I think he made his debut when he was about 18, back in about 2016, so 2015, somewhere there. Played in the Newcastle 23s previously, and yeah, he's had a good run with Greece this year, and unfortunately they've fallen one step short of the big trophy, but the Niue boys will face off and will probably be favourites up against Malta. Malta will play. They've knocked off Hungary 20-10. So obviously the Stone brothers, sons of former Knights coach Rick Stone and Pete Cronin there. I'm not sure if Sam Stone's still going around. I haven't seen the footage from their games, but he did have a suspected ACL injury after the first day. So
tough. It
is tough, mate. I don't think the Knights would be too pleased about that. But at the same time, I think it's great to see some of these NRL level players, going out and turning out for these fringe nations. And it really adds a boost to it. I mean, even the fact Willie Mason's been championing the Poland cause, he's been right around them and he's been at each of their games, so that's been really good. And there's been a few other interesting things. They were supposed to play, I think, at Cabramatta the other day, and they got washed out there due to, obviously, the weather, and they played on artificial turf at Kellyville, which is, pretty new for, semi-elite level rugby league, which was really good. But, we'll head into the finals, which will be on the 13th of October. So we'll have like third and fourth place playoffs as well as the finals in each, the trophy and the cup divisions. So as we said, Niue will take on Malta. I think they might have played in the pool games, and that was a cracker, 26-16. And then the Philippines, the two Jones boys from Central will come up against Ethan Niskot, and hopefully Alex Kowalski will be in the squad as well from Poland in the final there. For the trophy. So at the end of the day, Poland so far undefeated, mate, so we'll keep on that bandwagon.
Yeah, that's right. So Pool A was the strongest based on that final, mate.
Well, that's what you'd think, mate. You've got three of the teams that have gone through to the finals. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just the luck of the draw. I mean, Poland might argue that had they been in, Pool B rather than Pool C, they might have been in a semi-final against, replacing Greece or something. It just depends. But all they can do is just, it was based on some rankings and stuff, so they can just keep putting in front of them. I think at the moment their for and against stands at something like 164 points for and 16 against, and I think they won their warm-up game against Hungary 46-0 as well. So they've let in one try in each of their competition games and scored something like, I'm going to say it's in the realm of about 30 tries in that time. So, yeah, not too bad at all. And Ethan Niskot, he'll certainly feature later in the show, mate, as Man of the Week nominee with, I think he's got a try in each of the first two games and took over the goal kicking after Harry Saker missed a few and landed a lot of inch-perfect sideline conversions in both games. So, fortunately, due to commitments, I wasn't able to watch the game today, but I'll certainly be doing my darndest to tune in on Saturday once they confirm match times and be cheering the Polish boys on, mate, and Troy and his young fella Kai, who's doing all the media and stuff for them. So their social media's been really good. Make sure to check them out on Facebook and Insta, mate.
Yeah, and I think it's great what they're doing. Obviously, probably a lesser name. Some of the teams people might not have heard, but, I know a different code, obviously rugby background, but like Argentina, Japan, they were rubbish, 10 years ago, and now look at them. They're beating the Wallabies, which is nuts, but you've got to start somewhere.
There is still a big gap, don't get me wrong. But you've only got to see once the players start to filter down, if we can get a bit of parity. Like you've only got to look at what Tonga did. They've taken that step now. And so essentially it's now, it used to be Australia, then Daylight, then England and New Zealand. England and New Zealand have closed that gap a bit, and I think we'll see a bit more of that over in the coming games that are on in the next couple of weeks. But then you've got, you know, Tonga have sort of jumped into that top four tier. They made it through to the semi-finals up again, you know, in the World Cup. Even Fiji and a few of the others. So as those players start to level out, and as there's more incentive for players to go back, and you know, it's that, I guess, it's a double-edged sword for NRL clubs. You've got to look, you know, look at Sam Stone. You know, yeah, there is the risk of injuries, but also there's the opportunity to go and represent, you know, their heritage and, you know, to further develop the game in some of these places. You'd be surprised how many of these, you know, semi-professional competitions are running across some of these countries. So at the end of the day, like, Serbia is quite strong. They're not in this tournament, but yeah, there's, you know, I mean, a Serbian team could have, you know, the likes of Jake and Tom Trbojevic and some of these guys playing for them. Like, they're eligible for them. So I'm not suggesting they will go back and play at that level, but the more we can see of it, obviously the Pacific Islands are the ones that jump out to us first, but there's some of these European nations that...
Italy done it, didn't they? Gower and a few of the others.
Yeah, well, exactly right. Tedesco. The Minicellos, Tedesco, Paul Vaughan, Terry Campisi. There's plenty of them, and, we are a fairly multicultural country, so going back...
too, like, whereas rugby, like Jared Hayne, for example, he played sevens rugby for Fiji, so that was it, that if he nominated for Fiji, he can't play for any other country.
Yeah,
so it's good that there's flexibility and they have tiers.
Well, yeah, it isn't. There's a lot of catches in that too because of, you know, where you draw the line between the tiers and things like that. But, yeah, I certainly think there's got to be some opportunity to spread that. And, you know, we see that with other sports as well. So, you've got to look at Brendan Nash with the cricket. So, at the end of the day, I think if there's someone who's available and eligible under one of the rules to play for a country, like within reason, so long as you're not playing, you know, for two or three different countries in a year, like if they say in a World Cup window, so if you're playing, Robbie Farah playing for Lebanon at the last World Cup, Mitchell Moses, those sorts of guys, and then you become Adam Duhay, Adam Duhay is probably a good example. If he then steps up to the next level in the next 3 years and he's in the mix for the Australian side, well then, as long as he hasn't played for them in that window, then he goes into that, you know, or a two-year window or whatever it is. So, you know, name your eligibility, have that goal to play for Australia. But if you're miles away from playing for Australia, why wouldn't you? You know, like Chris Hynington's a great example, went and played for England for many years because he had English heritage. So, certainly think that's an opportunity. But we'll move along, mate. That's probably enough about the Emerging Nations World Cup. Good luck to Troy and the boys in their final. I'm sure you'll be trying to squeeze in a bit of a look at that too, mate. And, good luck to all the new boys, obviously. The Jones boys as well from Central. So either way, we walk out winners in that one. And I guess I'm probably cheering for Malta in the Maltese Knights. A, because they've got the Knights connection, and B, because they've got a couple of Newcastle actual boys, not just former Knights running around for them. But New A will be a very difficult side to beat, a big, powerful, strong Pacific Island side. So as I said, we'll move along from there. Next up, we have the NRC, mate. And New South Wales Country almost got a win.
Yeah, against a pretty okay Brisbane City team, mate. But I suppose that's gave a bit more pride in the jersey, mate. So
yeah, mate. They went down, so they now find themselves 11 points out of the four with one game to go. So best possible result for us is that we finish sixth. Worst possible result, I think, unless the Rays win by about 80, is to finish where we are. The Rays have got terrible for and against compared to us. Big games this week though, mate. Fiji and Drua and the Western Force playoff for the minor premiership and the Horan Little Shield. So that's a big one. That's over in Perth. Canberra and Brisbane playoff, and barring Queensland Country somehow losing and them drawing, that will decide fourth place, or they may finish third, but Queensland Country, the only way Queensland Country miss out is if they draw and Queensland Country lose to New South Wales Country in the Battle of the Countrysides up there at Scully Park on Saturday at 3 o'clock.
That's right, mate.
And then, Melbourne Rising and the Rays playoff, so it makes it hard for New South Wales Country to climb much higher, but if they were to win with a bonus point, they could potentially pull level at least with Melbourne Rising. So I guess we'll just wait and see, but I wouldn't expect them to move too far from where they are. Queensland Country is a pretty strong side, and they'll be looking to secure, potentially second spot. They can potentially snag second spot and get a home semi-final, which when you've got Fiji and the Force, I mean, you don't want to travel to Fiji, that's for sure. They're smashing everyone over there, and you don't really want to travel to Perth either.
No, you definitely don't. And I suppose it's good. Queensland country, probably like New South Wales country a couple of years ago, where the, you know, probably the team that, oh, yeah, we'll give them guys a run. And but, you know, Queensland have been really good this year. And I suppose Country Eagles have just got to aspire to be better next year, mate. And
yeah, mate, Coleman.
Blow up and start again, as Andrew John says.
Maybe they need to get the number one Coleman instead of number two Coleman.
Yeah, Bubba's going here and get the fifth.
I'm hearing the number two Coleman, as we're calling him, is moving on to Twiggy Ball.
Twiggy Ball?
Yeah, what do they call it? World Series Rugby.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he's in the box seat to coach the Western Sydney team. And I'm seeing some rumours. I noticed something on LinkedIn today. A couple of people I know that were involved with the Parramatta Two Blues. It's now being called. They're now calling themselves the Greater Western Two Blues or the Western Sydney Two Blues. Western
Sydney Two Blues.
So yeah, I don't know if that's the Parramatta side or if that's going to be.
No, they're reformed. They've started again, brand new.
Have they?
Yep.
Right. Okay. So. Yeah, that'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see if that's the side that goes in or what the side is, the Western Sydney side that goes into. So there will be no Parramatta Two Blues again.
Yeah, no, they've rebranded, okay. Mate. I know a friend of mine, Craig Morgan, that used to run the Central Coast Sevens.
That's exactly who I was having a look at on LinkedIn today, yeah, mate. So his name triggered it, and I started to go down a little wormhole there.
He's been sharing a lot of stuff on Facebook, but.
That's probably good to embrace that. I mean, they play the majority of their games out of Lidcombe this year. It covers a much wider area. Penrith wasn't a success for a number of reasons, discipline, results. Part of the reason too, yeah. And it gives them a bit of a footprint. And I guess my thing is with all of what's going on now is just about having a pathway there. It seems very hodgepodge and piecemeal. And I'm a New South Wales Country Eagles fan. I'm a Waratahs fan. But it's hard to really buy into them like it is to like an A-League side or an NRL side. It's got an identity with a town, like it's just such a broad. Like I know we've got State of Origin in league, but it's a different thing. Like it's a special occasion. It's a representative thing. Like the Waratahs isn't really a representative side.
No.
You know, and even Sydney Rays, like not many people are buying into that because it's just so generic and it doesn't have. You know, they don't have an identity, and I know it's hard because they've been manufactured, these teams essentially.
Yep.
But yeah, there needs to be, you know, and the fact that they're all floating around, and I get they're trying to spread it around, but. You know, like, I think they need to just get there and just knuckle them down and go, okay, well, we're New South Wales country, but we're going to be based out of Coffs Harbour, Newcastle, wherever it is, Wollongong. Yeah, fair enough. You know, you might go, and it's hard because they've only got four home games, but like Melbourne Rising didn't play a home game in Melbourne this year.
Yeah, we're playing this week. St. Patrick's School, mate.
I don't know where that is, yeah.
Wherever that is, somewhere in Melbourne.
Well, it's not in Melbourne. They don't play a home game in Melbourne.
Oh, well.
So it must be outside of Melbourne itself. So, like, I know they played at Geelong last week. They played a game in Adelaide, like... I get they're trying to take it to everyone, but yeah, and how it'll all line up, whether or not, you know, I'm told players will be eligible for the Wallabies if they play in this World Series rugby. So interesting for the likes of James O'Connor and that have burnt some bridges, whether they come back for, you know, Western Sydney and those things. But yeah, a lot of things there, and I think Rugby Australia's got a lot of things they need to sort of sort out and streamline. And yeah, I don't know how they solve the fan engagement problem because it is, you know. Where there's teams with identity like the Shoot Shield, it's thriving.
Yeah, and I know you're talking about, you know, it's hard to buy in, but I think it's that tribalism they're looking for, and it's hard to get that, like you said, with a manufactured team, whereas look at, I know it's a lot better game in the country, New Zealand, but they come back from Super Rugby level and all their, you know, the end...
The provinces and things, yeah.
Just so NPC or Mitre 10 Cup.
Mitre 10 Cup, yeah. NPC's next one down. Heartland.
Used to be the NPC.
Yeah, a long time ago.
But you know, you got the Otago, you got the Canterbury.
They're towns and, you know, little areas, whereas, you know, New South Wales is a big spread. Queensland's a big spread. And especially, like, you know, if you're from more than sort of 2 or 3 hours away, you're not going to regularly go to games. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's just the buy-in doesn't seem to be there. So I don't know what... I don't like to provide a problem without having some sort of solution, but I don't really have a solution for this one. I'm not sure what they do. I think we need to move away from the Super Rugby, to be honest. Potentially look at, you know, do we combine?
Maybe we'll touch base in March, mate, at Maitland at the Sportsman's Lunch.
Combine sides and, you know, have a combine a couple of competitions and, you know, go to a 12-team comp within Australia. And, yeah, like, there's going to be teething problems with it. But if you had, you know, a Sydney side, a Western Sydney side, a Newcastle side, a Melbourne side, a Geelong side, a Brisbane side, a, you know, Townsville side,
yeah, the Perth team.
Perth team, you know, an Adelaide team, and, yeah, you know, and then
two Queensland teams.
Yeah, like, well, I said two Queensland, I said Brisbane. Oh, yeah. And yeah, like, you know, all of a sudden you've got 10 or 11 teams. You know, you can still have Fiji. Like, Fiji's a small enough place that it can still come into that. I mean, you still got the travel cost, but that's fine. You know, potentially, you know, you could have a look at some of the other places if they wanted to get involved, but really make it about that and, you know, have the opportunity to play off against, you know, say, probably the Heartland would be better to start with, but, you know, some of the ITM or the championship rather than the premiership winner in the ITM or Mitre 10 as it is. So, anyway, that's my 2 cents on it. We'll move along, mate. Time of year where the round ball game kicks off for the elite level, the A-League, mate. We've got our memberships. I've even got my jersey on tonight, mate, underneath, under my Sunwolves kit here.
The memberships are in the post.
Well, allegedly. Have yours been posted out yet?
It said in the email they are in the process of getting
posted. Yeah, but they'll email you when it's actually been posted.
Well, no, so. I haven't got that email.
They also told us when we pre-ordered the jerseys at Maitland last week that they'd be available early on the week of the 8th, and I haven't been contacted yet, so I'll be ringing them tomorrow to find out where my better half's jersey is. But, mate...
brother, get onto it.
Yeah, so the A-League season, obviously the Jets, so they'd be pretty optimistic, I think, in terms of last year, finished second, grand finalists, you know, a VAR decision away, possibly from at least extra time, if not a premiership.
Yeah.
Take nothing away from Melbourne Victory. They won on the day, and what's all done is done. But, you know, plenty of news during the week, mate. A couple of extensions.
Yeah, Stephen Ugarkovich, mate. Long-term deal. Last Saturday, old Dimi Petratos extended as well.
Yeah, so the big thing with Dimi's is obviously it has a clause in it that says they won't restrict him from leaving for an... I don't know how exactly it was worded, but basically an increase in level of international football. But there's obviously a buyout clause there, similar to what Andrew Nabu had.
Yep.
So, yeah, so that's the case. But, mate, look, I think it's an exciting season. I like the players that we've signed. We've only seen a little bit of Jair in that trial against the Wanderers. He looked to have really good touch. Rye Denton's looked really good there. He's very versatile. He can play in the mids. He can play defensive mid, attacking mid, out wide, up front. Mitch Austin's been a good signing. Kane Shepherd looks likely. I think he'll be a good bench player. I don't know that he'll be a starter unless we have a few injuries, but I think he's probably at the same level that probably...
probably in front of Shabdow that we had last year.
Well, I was going to say he's probably about the same level as what Champness was at the start of last year. Oh, yeah. Before he hit the ground running and really kicked on. And Italiano, obviously I haven't seen enough of him yet to really make a judgment on it, but with him and Noah James there, hopefully they can put some pressure on Glenn Moss. Jack Duncan will be a fairly significant loss, but we didn't have him for a good chunk of the season last year, so Moss was our number one for big parts.
I personally prefer Moss anyway. I thought he was better than Duncan, was my opinion.
When Moss actually wants to catch the ball instead of just palming it down in front in the path of attackers, I'll agree with you.
Yeah. Right.
Thing is, Mossy's not getting any younger, though, is he?
No, he isn't, and yes.
And, of course, mate, the Hoff, he's here for another year, so that's the main thing. He's
a golden boot winner. What do you reckon?
We'll get to that in a bit, mate. Look, in terms of the Jets season, what do you think? So 27 games. I think we've got 13 at home this year. We had 14 last year. What would you say is a pass mark in terms of competition points?
Competition points.
Yeah, well, what, you know.
How many did we get last year?
So I'm just bringing that up now, mate.
I think we'll do better than what we did last year, but I think it's going to be a tough
comp. Okay, so let's have a look. A-League 17, 18. So we finished with 50 points last year.
I reckon we'll get 53.
So what are you saying? So 16 wins, 5 draws, and 6 losses. We'll give you 63 about that.
Yeah.
I reckon we'll finish on about 44.
A couple less.
So, yeah, I'm going to say 13 wins, 5 draws, and 9 losses. And I've got us finishing in 4th, I don't think by much, but I think it'll be a neck and neck battle. So who have you got for your minor premiers, mate?
I'm running with Melbourne City.
Melbourne City, what do you like about Melbourne City, mate?
I think they've. I just think they've recruited well. I think Riley McGree will be a good addition.
Everyone's talking about this. Can you tell me what Riley McGree did last year at the Jets outside of the Scorpion Guard?
I know I wasn't at that game, but I just thought he had a good presence about him. He had good vision. And I think just having a full preseason under his belt, I think he'll come into his own down there.
Yeah, my concern, mate, is probably not in the ins column, and I still think they'll be right up there. I think I've got them finishing third. Is in their more so in their outs column. I think from memory, they lost one of their key strikers. So Azani, they've lost Buzanis at the back on loan. And yeah, so there's a couple of other players there that have sort of moved right along. But I certainly think I've got him finishing third. We've also got Josh from Corner Flag Games. He was going to join us tonight, but had another commitment that came up last minute. He's got them finishing second, so he obviously rates them a little bit. I've got them third. So we've got an average position probably of second for City.
Yeah.
Who have you got coming second on your ladder, mate?
Last year's Premier's mate, Melbourne Victory.
Right, I've got them in first. Josh has got them in fourth. I think it'll be very much, you know, much for much as they've got Honda joining them. They're looking quite strong, and yeah, look, I don't think there'll be too much. I don't think we'll have a runaway winner like we did last year. My issue is obviously I just think Honda's a star player. Like, yes, they've lost Berisha, but I think they'll pick up plenty. They don't have too many other really huge gains outside of Honda and Niedermeyer. They've got a couple there that have come across. Oh, sorry, they've got Bayina that's come across from the Spanish La Liga. So they've got some potency up front. They can have a crack, and yeah, look, I think they'll be. I will say that the minor premiership will still be alive entering round 26.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
I think that the Jets will still be within striking distance with maybe 2 to 3 weeks to go. So I think those top four sides won't be separated by too much. So we've got an average there probably of, what's that give us, 7, so yeah, round 2 as well, just behind, so probably we've probably got Melbourne City just in front of them. Who have you got in third?
We've got our boys, mate.
You got the Jets,
Hoff
mate.
Squad.
Yeah, I've got them in fourth. Josh has got them in fifth, so that's average of fourth. We've probably got them sitting fourth. I think there won't be too much of a change on the Jets. I think it'll be, like I said, it'll just be a bit more probably competitive this season. I think a couple of times where we got away with a few things last year and we're probably fortunate we might not get away with as many. I think some of the lower teams, I think there'll be a lot more competition all the way through, whereas there was teams that were very off the pace of big chunks of the season and still running reasonably well. So I think those bottom sides will improve as the season goes on. Who you got next up, mate, in fourth?
Last year's minor premier, Sydney FC.
Yeah, I've got them coming second. Josh has got them in sixth.
Wow.
So that averages out at about fourth as well. They're going to be very much of muchness with the Jets. I think, yeah, it speaks for themselves. Sydney, look, I'll be very surprised to see them drop off the face of the earth. And, mate, even if they finish sixth, you can't write them off, as we saw last year. It only takes a couple of wins to get to the right spot. Melbourne finished fourth, I think, from memory, so... And who have you got rounding out your top six in fifth and sixth?
Adelaide in fifth and Perth Glory in sixth.
Yeah, well, we've all got Perth in the top six. Josh has got them third. I've got them sixth. You've got them sixth. So we're probably sitting around that sixth mark. Josh has got Adelaide as the minor premiers, which is a little bit of a surprise to me. I don't have them in my top six at all. I've got them running seventh, just missing out. So it'll certainly be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how they stack up. They've obviously been on a good run of form in the FFA Cup, but yeah, I just don't see them running deep. They're not a consistent side for mine, and haven't been over the last few years. They have really good runs of form, and they have lulls.
Great at home.
Exactly right, mate. I've got the Raw. I think the addition of Adam Taggart is going to be great. I think they're very underrated, and I'm expecting them to sneak in to fifth with a few. I think they'll be a side that'll get a lot of points just by grinding away at sides.
A lot of experience, Brisbane. Very experienced.
Yeah, very experienced side, correct. So having a look at what they've brought in this year. As I said, Adam Taggart is we've seen him at the Jets.
Bring him back.
Yeah, you'd love to have him back. And they've obviously, they've brought in him. Stephen Mauch's come back to the league. Stefan Nigro from Melbourne Victory. They have lost Fahid Ben Kalfala, but outside of that, and you know, there's a bit of experience moved on. But you know, no one that's really, I'm going, geez, that's going to be the end of them. Macarone was good last year, but you know, I think they've got, you know, an able replacement in Taggart coming across from Perth there. So certainly impressed there, mate. And then as we run down, I'm guessing we've all got similar teams down the bottom end. Where do you have the Raw finishing?
Raw finishing ninth.
Ninth, right. Well, Ben, Josh has got him finishing ninth as well, so we'll see how that pans out. He's got the Wanderers finishing seventh. I've got them eighth. I have not been impressed with what I've seen from the Wanderers in the last couple of games. I thought when they played against the Jets, maybe they're holding a bit in the tank for that FA Cup game, but it looked like they had nothing in the tank there either, so I really can't see them making the finals. Where'd you have them running?
I had them running seventh as well, mate.
Yeah, so I've got them eighth, and Josh's got them seventh. The Mariners, he's got in eighth. I've got him in ninth. I'm guessing you've got him in eighth as well.
Yeah, we spoke off air.
Yeah, obviously. But look, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Mariners have a crack at the top six, to be honest. It's really going to depend on how they start their season. They've picked up a couple of really signings. Tommy Orr and Ross McCormick are both huge signings. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
And they got the Bolt.
Yeah.
Well, we got the half. They got the
Bolt. He won't play until at least January at the absolute earliest.
January
2020. Yeah. The other one we missed when we did go through Melbourne City was Anthony Caceres on loan from Melbourne, from Manchester City. Sorry, mate. I'm just trying to find where the Coast Scum are with their squad.
From the top, mate.
Yeah. It's in alphabetical order, so that makes sense. Mate, they've got Mario Chabert, mate. Put your house on it.
Well, that first then. Change it.
Yeah, premiers. Exactly, mate. Ross McCormack, obviously, on that loan from Aston Villa. Tommy Orr, they're the big signings. Matt Simon brings a bit of experience. Michael McGlinchey brings some experience.
Matt Simon was from the Coast originally.
Matt Simon did play at the Coast originally, yeah. So he'll be I'll be looking forward to giving him some feedback.
Surely Arnie will give him a run at the Asian Cup on the bench.
Yeah,
surely.
We'll wait and see. I don't know about that. But yeah, they've brought in a bit of experience and a couple of other players that are pretty handy. They've signed a fair few high-level NPL players from the likes of, you know, Wollongong Wolves, South Melbourne, these sorts of clubs. APL Leichhardt, they've got a couple from. So Jordan Murray was very impressive for them in their run. So, but they've lost, yeah, a number of players. And, you know, Daniel De Silva going to Sydney FC on loan. He's one of their probably better young players. And very interesting to see that now that, you know, it's the introduction that you can loan youth players and those sorts of things. But very talented player, so it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. And, yeah, obviously the big story there will be Usain Bolt. And we've all agreed, the only position we've all agreed on, mate, 10th, the Knicks.
Wellington.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a long, old year for Wellington Phoenix. They have brought in Stephen Taylor, who's obviously, you know, a fairly experienced English player. Last at Peterborough United. They've brought in David Williams, who's played in the A-League previously. I thought letting Ryden go was an interesting move, but he's played under Ernie Merrick before and knows him well. So, look, they've got some good players there. They've got Nathan Burns, Andrew Durante. As I said, they've brought in, you know, Roy Krishna's there already, and then bringing in Stephen Taylor will be a solid addition. But, yeah, I just can't see them consistently vying in. So, they're finishing 10th, mate. Next up, we might have a look. Who have you gone for your golden boot winner?
Well, I was to-ing and fro-ing, mate.
Yeah, you wanted to vote for 12 different players, you told me.
I didn't vote for the Hoff, surprisingly.
Is it a Jets player?
No, I think my runner-up will be Ross
McCormack. No runners-up. Who have you got for your winner, mate?
My winner, I reckon, will be Bruno Fonaroli from Melbourne City.
Oh, he's gone with a short price favourite. Well, Josh has gone with a Melbourne City player as well in... Michael O'Halloran, the former Rangers goal poach. But, mate, I've gone with Adam Taggart from Brisbane.
A goal poacher.
Yeah, mate. Well,
Bringing back him and the Heskey.
Yeah, mate, he's a handy finisher, and I think he might sneak in there. My top at the Jets, I've gone with Jair. I think he might hit the ground running once he finds it. And, yeah, playing at eight there, he might be very handy hitting the back of the net, I think. Josh has gone for Dimmy. Who have you gone for, mate, for the Jets top scorer?
Well, we've actually agreed on something for once, mate. I think Jair is going to be a gun addition. I've gone for him as my leading
scorer. And, mate, your best and fairest for the Jets?
My best and fairest was the man that missed most of last year through injury. I think Ronnie Vargas.
Josh and I obviously colluded off air, mate. We've come up with the same man. We've come up with Benny Kantorovsky. He was absolutely one of the star performers when he was on the field. And I thought when you started talking about injury, I thought you were going to say the same thing. And I thought, geez, the day that we're all on the same page. But yeah, so we're going to have Benny Kantorovsky. Season kicks off next Sunday, 3 o'clock Australian Eastern Time. We play Wellington. You are a terrible fan who won't be watching it, although you might be able to watch it on your phone on Fox in between games.
Yes,
just say to him you're not available between 3 and 4:45.
Yeah, happy days.
Yeah, cool. Doesn't matter if the final's on, you don't care. And then we go into Adelaide. So our sponsors, Primex Sports Tools, will be doing some stuff over there. We've got a crew of guys going over. Myself and Josh are going over for that one.
Pub crawl.
Oh, mate, I'm not drinking, so I don't think so. But
golf.
Yeah, well, I think we're more interested in the soccer, mate. That's what we're going for.
It's a Friday night game, isn't it? 8 o'clock.
Yeah, it is Friday night game. It will be 8 o'clock our time, 7 o'clock their time, I believe. But yeah, the other thing is the Jets are having an active support forum, so check out their Facebook and Instagram. It is on Monday next week. You've got to register to get a ticket. It is free to go to. But look, Laurie's trying to activate. You know, Laurie and Joel are there. They're trying to activate. You know, this support, get it happening in the right way. Make sure that we're going forward in a really sustainable direction with it, and having a look at, you know, the FFA's talks about, you know, safe flares and music and things, and they're really doing it in a consultative way. So look, if you're a Jets fan and you like to get to the games, go take the effort, go on your Monday night, get on board here, get down, have a chat, you know, voice your opinions. Lest it be that you whinge and say, oh, well, we should have done this or we should have done that. If you don't go and put your hand up now, you probably don't have any right to have a say in it, as far as I'm concerned.
Agreed, mate. Agreed. Is it Monday the 22nd?
Yeah, that's correct. So Monday week, sorry, not Monday. But yeah, check out their social media feeds. All the details are on there.
Register that interest, I believe. There's a link.
As I said, yeah, you got to get a ticket. Yeah, so all the details are on there to register. It doesn't cost anything, but just say that they got ideas. There's something about dietary requirements. So there must be food there.
Yeah. Nice.
J-Lo's bringing all the kids.
Big Al is in.
Big Al signed.
So when we get to the season proper, mate, me, you and Josh, we're putting in our predictions, and we're going to run with a little sort of a...
We'll have a look at something, mate. We might see what we can do. You know, we'll get a tipping comp going, mate. You're a big fan of that.
I'm on the league, so happy days.
Yeah, we might see. I might actually be able to try. I might try and commit to that. We'll see how we go. But yeah, so that's the A-League season preview, mate. I'm primed, and it's only about 4 weeks away till the first home game.
Yeah, Melbourne Victory, November 3rd, I believe.
Yeah, that sounds correct. Yeah, November 3rd, so that'll be good. But we'll move on to the cricket, mate. We might start with the representative cricket. The Rep T20, well, it started last weekend, but our games were our Blasters and Lake Mac attack game. It got rescheduled to next weekend, I believe it is. Yep. So just trying to find, I did have the fixtures here somewhere. There we go. However, the Hunter Hitmen and Central Coast Rush were still scheduled to play. They did have a draw. I'm guessing it was washed out based on that. So this weekend, mate, there's double headers at Waratah and Harker. 9:30 and 1:30.
Yep.
So the home sides essentially will be the Blasters at Waratah Oval and Lake Mac Attack at Harker.
Lake Mac Attack are playing at Harker.
Yeah, that's what I just said. Thanks, mate. Thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah.
And then the Central Coast Rush and the Hunter Hitmen will alternate between those venues. So the Blasters will take on the Rush first, and the Lake Mac Attack will take on the Hunter Hitmen. Should be a bit more of an equal competition this year, mate, in terms of, obviously, the Blasters dominated last year, but with their team now being split into two, it'll be interesting to see. Who are you tipping to come out on top of all of this?
I am tipping the Blasters.
Blasters.
Nathan Price.
Who else, mate? Lake Mac Attack going to win both their games, or is it going to be split?
I think they'll win one.
Which one?
The game versus the Hunter Hitmen.
Yep, fair enough. And so Central Coast will get a win against them, so they'll all finish with one win. Sorry, they'll get a win against Central Coast, so Central Coast will have no wins. Well, Hunter Hitmen will get no wins.
Yeah, Hunter Hitmen will
get no wins. My maths is all over the shop.
So if that's the case, does that mean, is it Belmont's beloved son, Simon Keane, is he running the roost for Central Coast as the New South Wales country captain?
The roost? The rush?
The roost? Well, yeah, rush?
Yeah, I'm not sure, mate. I haven't seen their squad, but I would suggest that it would be highly likely that as a New South Wales country captain that you're telling me he is, that that he would be there. So, yeah, it'll certainly be interesting. And obviously there is that game still to catch up, which will be the Blasters versus the Lake Mac Attack, which is scheduled for the 21st at 2 o'clock at Waratah Oval. It doesn't appear there's any games in the other conference or the Port Macquarie pool this week. So it looks like Port Macquarie pool's all done. They played last weekend. It looks like Coffs Coast Chargers are the ones that will progress from there because they won all three of their games. So that's certainly, that'll be the way that plays out. And then the winner, obviously, of this pool, which we would expect to be the Blasters, will go through and play. I understand them in the final of Sydney Sixers pool and Sydney Sixers conference, sorry, and then the Thunder conference final as well, and the winners will play off from there.
Well, very exciting, mate. Just a little quick shout out while we're on the rep scene. Toby Gray from the Belmont Cricket Club, mate. He is in the Lake Mac Attack team on the weekend. He's just been playing at the Under 19s Country Championships, mate, and he's been named in the preliminary Cricket Australia Pathways squad, 39-man squad.
It's a big squad.
It is a big. They will cull it to 24.
So you pick three cricket teams and still have six blokes that don't make the cut.
Well, he's been leading captaining this ACT New South Wales country team, mate. He's taken 11 wickets so far as of yesterday. So yeah, just a little shout out there to him for doing really well, mate. Belmont first grade cricketer.
Yeah, good to see, mate. Good to see some young guns. Going well, so we'll now move on to the fixtures for this weekend, mate, for the Newcastle District Cricket, which will be on Saturday. So we're going backwards, yeah, mate. We can travel back in time in this show. So we've got Wall's End first up. They'll host City. Now obviously this is all very weather dependent. Wall's End will host City. If I was a betting man, I'd certainly be betting on zero of these fixtures going ahead again this week.
Yes.
Yeah, it would take a big change in the weather, that's for sure. So Wall's End hosting City, mate. How do you like this one playing out? I believe you've got a bit of news on a in for Wall's End.
Yes, big scoop brought first by Sportscastle, mate. Pat McGann, former great cricketer there, is back from the big smoke in Sydney to play for Wall's End, mate.
Yeah, the travel just got the better of him, mate. Wasn't quite getting the opportunities, I understand. So that will be a big in for Wall's End and a big boost, mate. I don't know, have you ever had the opportunity of playing against Pat? Or
I haven't played. He's a lot younger than what I am, but
I don't know if you might have played against him in the grade scene, although he would have probably pretty much skipped straight through.
He's pretty I believe he's pretty handy. He come through the scene a few years ago and obviously tried his luck down in Sydney, mate, but it just wasn't to be. So yeah, I suppose if they get Jacko back and Geese and Mahim and Price
Brooksy and Ryan Brooks, yeah, mate, there's some good players there, so mate, the big question though, they're playing City this week. How's this one finish up for you?
I think Captain Price will be a bit disappointed after the last round, mate, getting all those runs, but
I think he's more disappointed after last week and he was behind in the which Price is right.
Yeah, well, got washed out, so it just stays the same.
There'll be some movement in that, mate, after some items that were revealed to us, and you know, we had a few manoeuvres there, and Pricey played the trump card. I don't know if you saw, he had Darcy Short respond in his favour. So, Darcy Short commented on the post and said Nathan tagged Nathan in. So, mate, that'll be a decent boost to Nathan. And then, mate, there's the revelation that Joe, in a former life when he played cricket in my former stomping ground of Darwin, was very prone to an evening on the Red Bears. So, I think in terms of alpha standing, that might bring you back a bit. But certainly keep your eyes out for that one. There won't be much that separates them, I can tell you that. The popularity vote and a few of those revelations have been taken into account, and this week we'll be updating the graphic, and not only will we be updating it, the two guys will both be represented by nominated celebrity lookalikes. Yeah, so watch this space.
Yeah,
you want to have a guess at who their lookalikes are? For either of them, something? Give me something. Mate, silence is not good on a podcast.
No, I don't know.
You've got nothing.
I've been stumped.
You've been stumped. No, yeah, right. So, mate, I'm going to go Wall's End for a bonus point win here against City. I think they will route them should they get on for a full fixture.
Yeah, Wall's End.
Your boys next up, mate, Charlestown. They host West, mate. This will be a belter, I reckon.
It will be, mate. It's going to be
very... The other price, mate. Will he stand up? Yeah, Joseph.
He has so far. So, yeah, this is going to be a tough game. I think it will come down to the last five overs. But yeah, I just think West have got too much experience and too much form at the moment. And I think they'll just get it done, mate.
Charlestown really strike me as a side that, like, there's a bit of greenery about them. And consistent performance might be hard. So I feel like they'll have days where they'll go really well with the bat but not so well with the ball, or they'll just be mediocre with both, or they'll go well with the ball and not with the bat. Whereas West, like, you have to be on your game against West. They've got, you know, Loschek, Aldis. Then you've got Joe Price. Then you've got, you know, Aaron Wivell with the bat as well. So they've got depth in both. You know, we talked about it with Wall's End last year. They struggled because, you know, it was, you know, if Pricey and Monty didn't fire, so Nathan Price and Jacob Montgomery didn't fire, they struggled in their batting lineup. And so obviously the guys that we're talking about, like Brett Jackson, are going to come in there, will bolster that. But as it currently stands, West have, you know, they could have their top three batsmen and top two bowlers all fail to fire, and they're still in a match against most sides.
Yeah.
So I just can't go past West. I think Charlestown will push them, as you say, but I think West will just be a little bit too strong there.
And Charlestown, like you said, I think they're just missing like an out-and-out strike bowler. They've got a very good bowling unit, but they just don't have that, you know, that Sam Webber or...
I thought you were going to say Scott Logan.
Yeah, no, well, he's not... Well, who knows where he is? He'll pop up somewhere. But,
yeah, well, we're still waiting to see. He hasn't taken the field in an official fixture yet this year, so...
No, yeah. It's a replay of the semi-final last year, wasn't it? I think West held
Charles. Yeah, correct. Up. Yeah, so... next up, mate, speaking of Scott Logan, the University boys head overseas to Stockton.
They're at home, mate.
Are they?
In Stockton.
Are they?
They're on campus.
Oh, are they? Why do I have that at Stockton? There you go, righto.
They're at Bernie Curran Oval.
University number one.
So if they get on, mate, I am backing Scott Logan to get about eight, and Uni to
win. Eight off three rocks.
Uni to win with the alpha male, the self-announced alpha
male. Mate, he's not even eligible for that because he nominated himself. So
to back it up, mate, he's smashing them.
Yeah, mate, you've got the wrong draw there. Stockton are playing University at Lynn Oval.
Jeez, what a stitch-up.
Yeah, again, as usual, I'm right. University, yeah, I think they'll win, and I think they'll win with a bonus point here. Nathan Hudson has said he's aiming for player of the year, mate. He's set himself a big target, which I like. I like seeing blokes come out.
Summer Sportscastle personality.
Yeah, mate, he set big goals, and look, you know, he did nothing to contribute towards them last weekend. I'm very disappointed in that. I didn't hear any reports of him getting best on ground in a drunken endeavour at their sponsors. So
cricketer's arms, I believe.
Yeah, exactly. There was plenty of... I heard there was some whispers there. It was good to see a few of the boys get involved in a bit of the banter on the page, and we're loving that. And yeah, feel free. Or if you don't want to tag it, feel free to send a direct message, and we're happy to report gossip and innuendo so long as it's not too slanderous or libelous. But yeah, happy to have a bit of a laugh, and you know, if you've got some funny stories about what does happen off the field, then happy to share those with a bit of context and a bit of a giggle, mate. At the end of the day, it is local sport, and while everyone's out there to take it seriously, we also like to see the lighter side and people enjoying it. So
very social game, cricket.
Well, most of the local sport is, mate, and that's what's great about the Newcastle area. So next up, mate, Toronto. They play Hamwicks. Now this one is at Ron Hill Oval.
I have that written down.
Yeah, good. You got that one right. Who do you like here?
I think this will be a tough game, mate. Again, like most
of the games. I hope they all are.
They're all tough. But I just think Hamwicks will have a long trip out there to Ronnie Hill, mate. I think Toronto is a form team, and I think Chatty will lead the boys to victory.
Mate, as anyone who would have noted our ladder prediction would have seen, I've backed Toronto in. I think they will feature in the one-day final. They are a very strong side. They're improved. They've recruited astutely. Snapped up a couple of those recruits from under a couple of other clubs' noses, I understand, with some lures of some form or other, whether financial or otherwise, I'm not too sure. I just understand that they formed a bigger attraction. Sorry, what?
Sexual?
Maybe. I don't know what Chatty's skill set is like. you probably know the boys a little better than me. Maybe I'll ask our favourite round mound of sound, Jared Forbes. He might know. But yeah, I'm going to go to Toronto to win this one as well. Next up, mate, we have Waratah hosting Merriweather at Waratah Oval. Mate, I just don't see how Waratah Mayfield shape up against Merriweather. Merriweather probably pretty unlucky to come up against Simon Keane last week, 2 weeks ago, and then they got washed out against Hamwicks, which I think they would have backed themselves in. You know, two sides that are probably down a bit on what they've been in recent years. But look, this is, if Merriweather can't win this one, then I've got some real grave concerns for their season.
Already putting a line through them, mate.
Well, I'm not putting a line through them, but it's a long fall if they lose to Waratah, I think. And, you know, it's a hard way back, as we saw last year, you know. Yeah. If you don't hit the ground running, especially with a couple of washouts here.
Yeah, that's right, mate. But, yeah, like we've said a couple of times, unless Jonty Durraheim, you know, goes big, I can't see Waratah winning this one, mate.
No, exactly right, mate. I think come the end of the season, this I think Waratah might be a bit like, maybe not to the same extent as Toronto were last year, but they'll finish this season a lot better than they did last year. There's these young guys, if they can consistently get in, get a bit of team cohesion and get some confidence in them as they build, don't expect the world from them, understand the realities of it. I think they'll be a much better side at the end of the year, and hopefully they can hang on to them for a few years to come and do, you know, a la West and make their way at least, you know, to knocking on the door, because they have been down there for a little while. Final game of the round, mate. Belmont host Cardiff at Cale Oval. Who do you like here?
I'm going to go with the home team, mate.
Yeah, the home team, mate. I'd love to know what you're basing this on.
I just think I've been following them a little bit on social media, mate. They seem to be, Burles is doing a good job out there, trying to get a lot of, obviously they've lost a bit of experience from last year, but I think they're heading in the right direction with as far as trying to replace who they've lost. But I just think they're going to win, mate.
I'm on the other side. You know, since we first started talking about cricket, I'm pretty high on Cardiff this year.
You are very high.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are high at Cardiff. But anyway, that's a whole other story. But look, I certainly think, like Belmont two weeks ago, can you tell me who was their top run scorer and who was their top wicket taker?
The same bloke who's not there.
Yeah, the same bloke who they're not going to see again this season except for maybe T20 cricket. It's a big step up. Look, they've got some handy cricketers there. You know, they're led by a bloke who knows his way around a cricket match in Marcus. But I just think they've lost way too much. You know, they've lost a few of those players that they've sort of invested a fair bit of time in. You know, Jesse Major, Ray Cooper, obviously Splinter, Mark Littlewood is a big loss as well. And then Simon Keane come in and basically run the show and be their, you know, be all and end all. No one else really did all that much. Someone's got to fill that gap, and they're playing against a side, Cardiff, who I think probably are as good, if not better, than the performance that Merriweather put out against them. So they're really going to have to be on their game, you know. Cardiff's got, you know, Watkins and a couple of others that have played great cricket in Sydney. I just think Cardiff, mate. I think Cardiff will go quite well and will probably win a couple, if not all three, on the way home here in the one-day competition. So I guess time will tell, and it'll probably all be washed out and it won't matter. So that's the Newcastle District Cricket, mate. Do you have anything else to add in the cricket space?
Nah, that's about as much as there is, mate.
Australian team are doing horribly. Have you got an update there while we're going through? Last I saw, Pakistan were 5 down, but led by 430 with us still to bat again.
Wow. None for 24 in the second dig, mate. They got 6 declared for 181. 437 to win.
This is day 4?
Yeah.
So unless it's a day and a half to chase it. So we've got time, just whether or not we've got the batting.
Well, we were 145 for none yesterday. Yeah. We're at 200, so.
Nah, none for 142, wasn't it? And 8 for 192. So we lost 850. That's good. It's good cricket. Mate, you look at the scorecard, I was like, oh, yeah, looks all right.
Two boys are leading from the front again, so hopefully they can get to, like, 390 before they get out.
Oh, Usman will have more runs than the rest of the team combined. Hopefully we can get a bit more batting. Poor old, it wasn't the best for the debutants with Ducks. So
Duck, Duck, Goose.
Yeah, mate. Duck, Duck, Goose. I think Justin Langer might be the goose at the moment. But anyway, there's not much else he can do. I mean, the only other one that really glares out was Glenn Maxwell, but even then, I don't think it would have made, you know, like, he wasn't scoring 273.
No.
He would have run out of partners very quickly.
When Victoria won the
JLT, they did, mate. Yes, exactly right. But that's pretty much us for the week, mate. Man of the week's all we've got, and due to the fact that pretty much everything and sundry's been washed out, we've only got two nominees, and that's Pete Cronin from the Maltese side. Oh, we'll probably throw Robert Tuilatu in there from Greece as well, I'd say. He's done quite well for them playing up front. And Ethan Niscott, mate, a couple of tries and doing very well at fullback for Poland, looking very handy. I was quite surprised. I didn't know too much about Ethan before I went down and watched the other week. And, we did do an interview with Ethan, which will pop into the show as well, back in the Emerging Nations section. So But yeah, very impressed, mate. He looks very likely and wouldn't look out of place in a first grade side in Newcastle. So he's played a lot of reserve grade last year, but also a very good goal kicker. So look, my points are going to go 1 point to Robert Tuilatu, 2 points to Pete Cronin, and 3 points to Ethan Niscott.
I'm going to agree, mate.
You know, agree. So our man of the week for Matt's Mowing Maintenance is the Polish man himself, Ethan Niscott, and he wins a $50 entitlement to Matt's Mowing and Maintenance voucher, if you will.
One person take it up, so
one take it up, mate. So look, you know, at the end of the day, it's there. We're putting a prize out there. We've got a sponsor that's given up something for us, so we appreciate that. So if you do have lawn needs, make sure to check them out. I'll share their Facebook page on our page, and yeah, make sure to check out Matt's Mowing and Maintenance. He can cover anywhere pretty much. Newcastle and the Maitland area. I don't know if he goes too far up to the Hunter, but I mean, if you've got a big enough job or a couple of people that need some stuff done up there, I'm sure he'd travel up there. Probably not just for one townhouse lawn or something in Musselbrook though. But yeah, look, you know, he does some good work, and he does my lawn, does a pretty good job of it, what's left of it after the dogs dug it up. And can do heaps of other stuff. I've had him, when he's been up, he's done some car washes, some bindi painting. What else has he done? Clean my pool. Jumps in pretty much anything I need done when I'm away. And
he's a handyman.
Oh, it is Matt's Mowing and Maintenance. So,
there you go.
Yeah, I don't know how he goes on doing repairs, but yeah. Of course, our other supporters, the Rugby League Academy and Aerolax Australia. And obviously the big sponsor, Primax Sports Tours, mate, for all your tours needs. I understand they're in the works of getting everything up on their website for all the A-League tours this year. Literally, if you support any A-League side and want to get to their games, they've got prices from the home team city to the away team city, but they can tailor anything to your needs. So even if you want to plan your cricket end-of-season trip, they can probably do that for you too. Anything, you know, travel-related, and, you know, if it's got a sports connection, then even better for them. But they're very keen on activating some away support for those sides and helping out. So outside of that, mate, rate, review us, subscribe.
Join in the fun. Send in some ideas if you've got any ideas.
Yeah, if there's other sports you want us to cover, or, you know, if your granddad won the over 80s Tiddlywinks Championships in Bulgaria last weekend, let us know if he's from Newcastle.
Might have a few extra segments over the next few
weeks. Yeah, we'll have some more content and stuff coming up on the social media as well. And we might have to hold some sort of contest or something during the year as well.
And the Grasshoppers are back, mate.
Grasshoppers are back in a couple of weeks, so yeah, we'll get amongst that. Don't know if I'm going to be there for the first game, but we'll deal with that. I definitely won't be there for the second one. I'm already unavailable for half the season. I told you not to register me. But, mate, thank you again for your time and providing the luscious surrounds of the Jared Mullen Studios back office.
Reserve grade shed.
Yeah, exactly right. And, yeah, look forward to episode 35 this one. Look forward to, you know, in only a couple of months' time, racking up the half ton and raising the bat.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, make sure to jump on our social media, give us plenty of chat, send it to your friends, share it around. Yeah, we appreciate all the love. And, oh, big shout-out, mate. We've got the page, got 500 people on board, so good to see. And, yeah, certainly. And the final thing, we will be doing a bit of a sponsorship drive, so if anyone's got a business they'd like to plug on here, have a chat to us. We can do things from the very small to the very large in terms of sponsorship packages. So, you know, Aerolax, if you want to throw, like, you know, $5 million, 3-year naming rights deal at us, we can negotiate up from there. You know, any of those sorts of things. But, yeah, literally as small as you like, we can try and tailor something to your needs. You know, if you pay us enough, Jared will get your business logo tatted on his forehead.
Yeah, right, okay.
It just depends on what that figure is, doesn't it, mate? We'll talk to Erica about that.
That's right.
But, yeah, so thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you all next week.
Bye.